We're working in here, Duffy said. He nodded.
Reacher has seen what we do to government women. He's seen it with his own eyes. You should jump ship, Harley. It's all coming apart now.
You think?
I know.
See, we don't get that feeling from the computers. Your friend and mine in the body bag, she didn't tell them nothing yet. They're still waiting on her first report. Matter of fact, most days it seems like they've forgotten about her altogether.
We've nothing to do with computers.
Even better. You're freelance operators. Nobody knows you're here. And I got you all covered.
Paulie had me covered.
With a gun?
With two. His eyes flicked down for a second, then back up.
I'm smarter than Paulie. Put your hands on your heads.
We put our hands on our heads.
Reacher's got a Beretta. I know that for sure. I'm guessing there are two Glocks in the room as well. Most likely a 17 and a 19. I want to see them all on the floor, nice and slow, one at a time.
Nobody moved. Harley shaded the P-14 toward Duffy.
The woman first. Finger and thumb.
Duffy slid her left hand under her jacket and dragged her Glock out, pinched between her finger and thumb. She dropped it on the floor. I moved my arm and started my hand toward my pocket.
Wait, Harley said. You're not a trustworthy character.
He stepped forward and reached up and pressed the P-14's muzzle into my lower lip, right where Paulie had hit me. Then he reached down with his left hand and burrowed in my pocket, came out with the Beretta, dropped it next to Duffy's Glock.
You next,
he said to Villanueva. He kept the P-14 where it was. It was cold and hard. I could feel the muzzle's pressure on my loose teeth. Villanueva dropped his Glock on the floor. Harley raked all three guns behind him with his foot. Then he stepped backward.
Okay, he said. Now, get over here by the wall.
He wheeled us around until he was next to the crates, and we were lined up against the back wall.
There's one more of us, Villanueva said. He isn't here.
Mistake, I thought. Harley just smiled. So call him. Tell him to come on down.
Villanueva said nothing. It felt like a dead end. Then it turned into a trap.
Call him, Harley said again. Right now, or I'll start shooting.
Nobody moved.
Call him, or the woman gets a bullet in the thigh.
She's got the phone, Villanueva said.
In my purse, Duffy said. And where's your purse?
In the car.
Good answer, I thought.
Where's the car? Harley asked.
Close by, Duffy said.
The Taurus, next to the stuffed animal place?
Duffy nodded. Harley hesitated.
You can use the phone in the office. Call the guy.
I don't know his number, Duffy said. Harley just looked at her.
It's on my speed dial. I don't have it memorized.
Where's Teresa Daniel? I asked.
Harley just smiled. Asked and answered, I thought.
Is she okay? Villanueva said.
Because she better be. She's fine, Harley said. Mint condition.
You want me to go get the phone? Duffy asked.
We'll all go, Harley said. After you put these crates back in order. You messed them up.
You shouldn't have done that.
He stepped up next to Duffy and put the muzzle of his gun to her temple.
I'll wait right here, he said. And the woman can wait here with me. Like my own personal life insurance policy.
Villanueva glanced at me. I shrugged. I figured we were nominated to do the quartermaster work. I stepped forward and picked up the hammer from the floor. Villanueva picked up the lid from the first grail crate, glanced at me again. I shook my head just enough for him to see. I would have loved to bury the hammer in Harley's head, or his mouth. I could have solved his dental problems permanently. But a hammer was no good against a guy with a gun to a hostage's head. And anyway, I had a better idea, and it would depend on a show of compliance. So I just held the hammer and waited politely until Villanueva had the lid in place over the fat yellow missile tube. I buttered it with the heel of my hand until the nails found their original holes. Then I hammered them in and stood back and waited again. We did the second grail crate the same way. lifted it up and piled it back on top of the first one. Then we did the RPG-7s, nailed down the lids and stacked them exactly like we had found them. Then we did the VAL silent snipers. Harley watched us carefully, but he was relaxing a little. We were compliant. Villanueva seemed to understand what we were aiming for. He had caught on fast. He found the lid for the Makarov crate, paused with it halfway into position.
"People buy these things?" he said. "Perfect," I thought.
His tone was conversational and a little puzzled, and professionally interested, just like a real ATF guy might be.
"Why wouldn't they buy them?"
Harley said.
"Because they're junk," I said.
"You ever tried one?" Harley shook his head. "Let me show you something," I said. "Okay?" Harley kept the gun pressed hard against Duffy's temple.
"Show me what?"
I put my hand in the crate and came out with one of the pistols, blew wood shavings off it, and held it up. It was old and scratched, well used. Very crude mechanism. They simplified the original Walter design. Ruined it, really. Double action, like the original. But the pull is a nightmare. I pointed the gun at the ceiling and put my finger on the trigger and used just my thumb on the back of the butt to exaggerate the effect. Pincered my hand and pulled the trigger. The mechanism grated like a balky stick shift in an old car, and the gun twisted awkwardly in my grip. "Piece of junk," I said. I did it again, listening to the bad sound and letting the gun twist and rock between my finger and thumb. "Hopeless. No chance of hitting anything unless it's right next to you." I tossed the gun back into the crate. Villanueva slid the lid into position.
"You should be worried, Harley," he said. "Your reputation won't be worth shit if you put junk like this on the street."
"Not my problem," Harley said. "Not my reputation. I just work here."
I hammered the nails back in, slowly, like I was tired. Then we started on the AKSU-74 crate, the old submachine guns. Then we did the AK-74s.
"You could sell these in the movies," Villanueva said, "for historical dramas. That's about all they're good for."
I hammered the nails into position, and we stacked the crate with the others until we had all of Bizarre Bazaar's imports back into a neat, separate pile, just like we had found them. Harley was still watching us. He still had his gun at Duffy's head. But his wrist was tired, and his finger wasn't hard on the trigger anymore. He had let it slide upward to the underside of the frame, where it was helping take the weight. Villanueva shoved the Mossberg crate across the floor toward me, found the lid. We had only opened one.
"Nearly done," I said.
Villanueva slid the lid into position.
"Wait up," I said. "We have two of them on the table."
I stepped across and picked up the first persuader, stared at it.
"See this?"
I said to Harley. I pointed at the safety catch. "They shipped it with the safety on."
"Shouldn't do that. It could damage the firing pin."
I snicked the safety to fire and wrapped the gun in its waxed paper and burrowed it deep down into the foam peanuts. Stepped back for the second one.
"This one's exactly the same," I said.
"You guys are going out of business for sure," Villanueva said. "Your quality control is all over the place."
I set the safety to fire and stepped back toward the crate. Pivoted off my right foot like a second baseman lining up a double play, and pulled the trigger and shot Harley through the gut. The Brennecke round sounded like a bomb going off, and the giant slug cut Harley in half. Literally. He was there, and then suddenly he wasn't. He was in two large pieces on the floor, and the warehouse was full of acrid smoke, and the air was full of the hot stink of Harley's blood and his digestive system, and Duffy was screaming because the man she had been standing next to had just exploded. My ears were ringing. Duffy kept on screaming and danced away from the spreading pool at her feet. Villanueva caught her and held on tight, and I racked the persuader's slide and watched the door in case there were any more surprises coming at us. But there weren't. The warehouse structure stopped resonating, and my hearing came back. And then there was nothing except silence and Duffy's fast, loud breathing.